After 11 days and 38 witnesses, Brian Niemann, the prosecution in the case of former Minneapolis, Minnesota police officer Derek Chauvin rested its case. The defense will begin presenting today. They are anticipated to close arguments we're hearing by next Monday, according to Judge Peter Cahill, and then we'll see what happens from there. Joining us now, and it's really connected to the first question I'm going to ask our guest, is what's going on in Brooklyn, that little suburb right outside of Minneapolis, Brooklyn Center, with the riots going on. Joining us right now, we've been talking to him a couple times throughout this case involving the death of George Floyd, is a former assistant state's attorney, Adam Reuther. He now is a partner in the Rosenberg, Martin, and Greenberg law firm. Good morning, attorney.
Good morning, C4. Good to talk to you again.
All right, Adam, let me ask you this, because the judge, there was a motion by the defense in relationship to what we're watching. I'm calling it riots. They can call it whatever they want to, in relationship to the death of this young man in Brooklyn Center, to sequester the jury. The judge said no to this, saying that sequestered or not, they would still be, you know, around what's going on. They're about 5 minutes away from where the trial is being held. Let me get your take on that, about sequestering a jury in a situation like this.
So sequestering a jury, although you know see it a lot on TV and and cop shows and whatnot, it is a pretty unusual thing. It's an extreme measure to ask the people who are already doing their civic duty to stand in judgment of one of their fellow citizens by listening to a trial, a long trial, a complicated trial, an emotional trial. It's a big ask to then put upon them that they don't get to go home at night. Now, the judge has indicated that he's going to sequester them as they deliberate, and that's a little less unusual. But unless there is a compelling reason that the judge sees that it's truly necessary, it's a pretty unusual thing for a judge to do in the middle of a trial, to say this jury needs to be separated entirely from their lives, from their families. It essentially says that there is no other way to have a fair trial, and it sounds like the judge just hasn't seen that yet.
I know this comes across as a very simplistic question, but what does the prosecution have to prove to get guilty verdicts?
Well, they've charged in the alternative, essentially. We've got these three levels of homicide offenses. And again, a homicide just means the killing of one person by another. But we got all these levels of it, right? You've got, you know, you've got the second degree felony murder, which essentially says that Officer Chauvin was committing an assault that was illegal and was a felony, and then someone died in the process of that. That is a specific level of murder. We've got this depraved heart murder, which we also have in Maryland, that says that the government would have to prove that Derek Chauvin acted with extreme and wanton reckless disregard for the life of another person in acting the way he did, and that person died. And then we've got the less culpable level, which is the manslaughter, which is simply that Derek Chauvin acted negligently and somebody died. So the government is going to argue, obviously, the highest of those mental states. But it's up to the jury to decide what the evidence really shows. Yeah. And in a case like this, it's really about what the jury thinks about exactly how outrageous or unreasonable Derek Chauvin's behavior was under the circumstances, given what he knew and what he was experiencing at the time. And that will dictate the level of the offense that they would find him guilty of, if they find the rest of the evidence is sufficient.
Just real quick, the negligence being the easiest one to prove, or you
correct?
Would think. Yeah, okay.
Correct. So it's something outside of the bounds of what you would expect a normal person in that officer's position to do.
We're speaking with attorney Adam Reuther. Once again, he's a former assistant state's attorney in the Baltimore City State's Attorney's Office. And Adam, when it comes to the amount of prosecution witnesses, one of the things I was wondering is, because they've had a lot of forensic pathologists, they've had different medical experts, police officers, including the chief of police. Can you have too much in a jury? Like, does there come a point where you've made the point sufficiently and all you do at that point is turn the jury off with too many witnesses?
There are a lot of strategic calls like that in the course of a trial. And as you're preparing, if you're the prosecution, as you're preparing your witnesses and deciding how much is enough and how much is too much, it's really a case-by-case call. There is no rule book that says, you know, if you've got one point and you've got three witnesses who contributed to that point, that's too much, but two witnesses is just right. It all depends on how nuanced the issues are. We saw a lot of a lot of expert testimony in this case, and that's because the causation of George Floyd's death is something that the defense really put front and center, saying that, well, we can't really say beyond reasonable doubt that it was this officer's actions towards George Floyd that actually caused his death. The defense put that issue in the middle of this case, and so it's then even more incumbent on the prosecution to make sure that they meet that argument with very strong evidence. And that's why you see many experts testifying, no, it really wasn't George Floyd's health conditions that made him die that day. It wasn't his use of drugs that made him die that day. But for coming into contact with this police officer and having this experience, he would have made it to the end of the day at the very least without having died. And it's because that issue is something that the defense is hanging their hat on that you see the government really stacking up on that.
We know here in Baltimore, especially during the Freddie Gray case, that a lot of it was based on, at least the defense try to talk about what the medical examiner ruled. How important is what the medical examiner ruled in this particular case, do you think, for the prosecution and or the defense?
It's crucial for both. Medical examiners are incredibly important witnesses in a lot of homicide cases. In some cases, they're less important. You'll see shooting cases, murders by firearm that happen all the time where the medical examiner isn't really all that important because it's pretty obvious how the victim died and that the fact that somebody fired a gun at that person, so that's a homicide. But in cases like this, where there's a real dispute among the state and the defense about what actually caused the death of the victim, the medical examiner becomes center stage. And the distinctions that the medical examiner draws about cause of death and manner of death, those are the two things the medical examiner typically testifies to. What the actual mechanism, in this case, asphyxia or a lack of oxygen to the brain, and then what was the manner of death? How did that come to pass? Was it because another person did this, or was it by natural causes or accident, et cetera? So in a case like this, where the defense is really trying to say, you should find this person not guilty because he didn't actually cause this death, the medical examiner is the very tip of the spear for the government.
Finally, Attorney Adam Reuther, as it relates to the defense now getting its arms around this case, they've painted Derek Chauvin, former officer, to be really a horrible individual in many ways. Do you put Derek Chauvin on the stand? If you have a defendant that you're trying to get sympathy for, would you put him on the stand or not? What do you think?
So that is the most difficult decision in criminal defense. And that's because as soon as you put your client on the stand, even though you have a certain amount of control as to what they say while you're working with them, and you can prepare that and you can rehearse that and you can make sure that they give their best face to the jury, as soon as you sit down and the government stands up and gets to cross-examine that witness, the whole thing can change on a dime. And so that decision is going to have to be made very carefully by Officer Chauvin's defense team based on a lot of their experience with him as a person and how they think he'll perform as a witness. And to your point, it's not even necessarily about garnering sympathy for him. In this case, so much hinges on what was actually going through his mind when he was making the decision to continue to keep his knee where it was and, his interactions with the crowd that the defense are saying was distracting him and making him lose track of what he was doing otherwise. If he's really going to tell that story, if he can do it in a way that is compelling and can make the jury understand that maybe he isn't, an unfeeling or uncaring person, but that he was just in a bad situation, then there might be some real advantage to taking that risk and putting him on the stand because it's all about what was going on inside his head.
He's a partner with Rosenberg, Martin, and Greenberg, former assistant state's attorney here in Baltimore City, Attorney Adam Reuther. We really appreciate this.
You're
maybe
awesome.
Towards
Thank
the
you,
end
Adam.
Of this, we can get your kind of take on it. We appreciate it, Adam.
My pleasure. Anytime.